Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is grace risky? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going through chapter 3 in a book titled The Grace Awakening, a book that was written by Charles Swindoll, a Christian pastor who served for many years in Southern California and now serves as a pastor in the state of Texas. He wrote this book, The Grace Awakening, as a response to legalists in the Christian church. But, as I've mentioned before, as I was going through it, I found that this would be an excellent book if a Latter-day Saint is really trying to understand what Christians believe regarding the gospel of grace. And so we are going through one chapter in particular, and that's the one, Isn't Grace Risky? And the reason why we've chosen to focus on chapter 3 is because this is a response that we often hear from Latter-day Saints, that somehow, if you believe in grace as we define it, as we understand it, I should say, from a New Testament perspective, Mormons often will misunderstand and assume that we are saying that you can just go out and do anything you want. And that's exactly what I read yesterday from Spencer Kimball, who was the 12th president of the Mormon Church, showing that Kimball obviously did not get it because of what he said. He actually played into the very question that Paul asked. Now you're going to say, does that mean we can sin willfully that grace may abound? And of course, Paul's response to that is, absolutely not. But it doesn't mean that we don't think that this concept of grace does not come with risks. It most certainly does. It can be abused just like any doctrine can be abused. And that's the question that Swindoll asked on page 35. He says, is grace risky? You bet your life it is. And he goes on to talk about how people will misread what he is writing in this book, and they will misquote him. They will misunderstand me, he says, and charge me with caring little about the holiness of God, because they will say, I give people the freedom to sin. On the other hand, some in the camp of carnality will thank me for relieving their guilt, because in their misunderstanding, they now think it is okay for them to continue in their loose and carefree lifestyle. I wish these things would not occur, but that is the chance I'm willing to take by holding nothing back in order that the full message of grace be set forth. I think it's important to notice by what he says here on the bottom of page 35, Eric, that he is not condoning a loose lifestyle or what he calls the camp of carnality. Mm-hmm. He's not saying that at all. People, take note of that. He's not saying that just because you believe in grace, as he understands it as being put forth in the New Testament, that you can go and do whatever you want.
And this is one of those great catch-22 situations on the bottom or on the top of page 36, the end of the paragraph you're reading. It says it brings grace abusers as well as grace killers out from under the rocks. And I mean, when you're preaching grace, that is going to be misunderstood by a lot of people because, hey, you can do whatever you want. It sounds like the message. And so as a preacher, we've got to be careful that we don't make it sound like, well, you can just go do whatever, everything you want. You got to temper it. But at the same time, if you're going to preach grace properly, as what he's trying to say here, there's a good likelihood you're going to be misunderstood.
Well, and as he says earlier in this chapter, he says it's much easier to just tell people, you better keep all the commandments because if you don't, you're going to be condemned. Well, isn't that what the Mormon church tells their people?
And isn't that what their people want to hear? Just tell me what I have to do to get the very best that I can get, and I'll do my best.
And if you're a Latter-day Saint and you're doing it, give me a call. Write me, bill@mrm.org. I'd love to hear how you're keeping all the commandments and how you've actually repented, according to your definition of the term, of all your sins. I'm still waiting for that Mormon to prove to me that he has met those requirements. I have not met a Mormon who has done that. I say that as a statement of fact. If that is what you think you need to do in order to achieve the best your religion has for you, you will not achieve it. It's as simple as that. On page 36, he goes into this subheading of statement of clarification. Why don't you read what he says there?
He says, in order for anyone to stand securely and be at peace before a holy and just God, that person must be righteous.
Hence, Well, let's stop there.
Yeah.
That person must be righteous. Now, what is a Mormon thinking when you say that?
Amen.
Yeah. They're saying, yes, you must be righteous. Now, we're agreeing on the word.
Yeah.
But what we do not agree on is how is that righteousness obtained? Yeah. There's where we separate from our Mormon friends.
Forensic term. Mm-hmm. The idea that you're deemed.
And he will explain that as he goes on.
Yeah. Well, hence, our need for justification. Remember the definition of justification? It is the sovereign act of God whereby he declares righteous the believing sinner while still in his sinning state.
Okay. A Mormon would disagree with that because what's the phrase they often use? Oh, you've got to be saved from your sins. You can't be saved in your sins. Now, if you're a Christian listening to this and you've heard your Mormon friends say that, it's very simple to kind of flush that out. Simply ask the Mormon, well, do you still struggle with sin? They're going to say yes. At least the Mormons I've talked to, they all admit they struggle with sin. I appreciate that honesty.
That's what Paul said too.
Well, yes, of course, in Romans chapter 7, he talks about that too. Well, if they're still struggling with sin, and they don't have the assurance that all that sin is forgiven, and many times you will find they will admit they don't, aren't they then, according to their own definition, still in their sins?
Well, Mormonism is preaching a gospel that can't be kept.
Which means that it can't possibly be good news, because if the requirement is to be only from your sins, not in your sins, and you're not out of your sinful state, then how can you have any peace that passes all understanding? So when he says, you know, is the sovereign act of God whereby he declares righteous the believing sinner while still in his sinning state. Now, when you became a Christian, Eric, did that mean automatically, when you put your faith in Christ, that your sin nature changed and you'd never sinned anymore?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No. That's the way it is in my life, and I think every honest person would have to admit who professes to be a Christian that no. In fact, it actually got worse because now, I know in my life, I was much more cognizant of my shortcomings and my sinfulness than I was before I became a Christian, and I started seeing, oh my goodness, this, now it's really being exacerbated. My sinful nature is now really coming out. Mm-hmm. Why? Because with the Holy Spirit now in me, I'm being convicted of things that never bothered me before. So go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, here it continues on and says, it doesn't mean that the believing sinner stops sinning.
Well, wait a minute. Let's now look at what the Mormons have said on this subject. Let me read Joseph Fielding Smith, The Restoration of All Things. One of the most pernicious doctrines ever advocated by man is the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which has entered into the hearts of millions since the days of the so-called Reformation. This is called The Restoration of All Things, page 192, a book written by Joseph Fielding Smith. Then we also have this statement.
Before you go on, I just want to point out what he just said. Pernicious doctrines. Yes. It's the doctrine that's being preached in the Christian churches all through Utah, all through the world. And Joseph Fielding Smith, the president of the church, said...
The 10th president
said that this is a pernicious doctrine.
Pernicious doctrine.
Hear this. I mean, we need to understand they are so against the gospel of grace that's being preached.
Well, what did Bruce McConkie say in Mormon Doctrine? This is page 408. And now when you hear Bruce McConkie's name, a lot of Mormons roll their eyes now. But this was actually quoted also in the Doctrines of the Gospel Student Manual, Religion 231 and 232, page 50. So it's in a correlated manual. So if you're a Latter-day Saint, you just can't, you know, throw this off like it means nothing. You have to listen to this. What did McConkie say?
He says, what then is the law of justification? It is simply this, quote, all covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations in which men must abide to be saved and exalted, must be entered into and performed in righteousness, so that the Holy Spirit can justify the candidate for salvation in what has been done.
Now, it's important what he says here. Who is the one that is obligated to do that?
The person.
The individual.
Yes.
The individual is supposed to do that. This is the law of justification according to Mormonism.
And notice the word all.
All covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations.
That all is modifying all of those nouns.
Exactly.
And it is. It's. There's no exceptions.
So the question is, if you're a Latter-day Saint and you're supposed to be doing all these things in order to achieve what is in this law of justification, are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the simple question we are asking. Are you doing that? Don't give me this, well, I'm trying. Because when a Mormon says they're trying, what they're doing, folks, is they are admitting they are failing at it.
Because
somebody who does things don't say, I try.
Yeah,
they do it.
Well, when we say, I'm going to try to climb the mountain.
We use that illustration all the time. It works so well.
Because we understand that we didn't do it. But if you did it, it's no longer trying.
The point we're trying to get across here in the moments that we have left is that we do believe that you are to be righteous, but we understand that if righteousness means by never doing things that are wrong, by keeping all the covenants, by keeping all the obligations, as we see McConkie says in this quote, then we are never going to be justified. We are never going to be justified. We must be declared righteous in the eyes of God. We are not downplaying that there are works involved, but as we've said many times, it's the works of Jesus, what Jesus
Amen.
Did on behalf of the believer, not what the believer does for himself. That will always be inconsistent and will never really be pure when you think about it.
That makes all the difference in the world.
It makes all the difference in the world. So this is what we're going to continue looking at tomorrow when we continue looking at this chapter, Isn't Grace Risky, in the book The Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? Well, if not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministries' Compassionate Boldness Symposium coming up on Saturday, March 23rd. This four-hour event will take place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues such as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. Now again, this event is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. This Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, March 23rd at Shadow Mountain Church, located just off Old Bingham Highway at 9324 South and 5600 West in West Jordan. As always, we look forward to seeing you there.